Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Headpride.com at Chief in Carolina. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Bink. Thanks for quite the introduction, giving me that kind of comparing aspect.
Brooks Koepka-like approach to the draft.
Oh, boy.
Stoic.
That's a big shoes to fill next year.
Stoic, biceps popping out of the shirt. I don't think I've had a chance.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Big Sunday Hour 2. Jay Binkley, Ben Alpert producing the operation. Somewhere Brooks Koepka is getting ready to go kick some more ass. The PGA Champ, this guy, man. This guy's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Another guy that's unbelievable is Matt Lane, arrowheadpride.com, at Chief in Carolina. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Bink. Thanks for quite the introduction, giving me that kind of comparing aspect.
A Brooks Koepka-like approach to the draft.
Oh, boy.
Stoic.
That's a big shoes to fill next year.
Stoic, biceps popping out of the shirt. I don't think I've had a chance to tell you. I know you've been on since the draft, but you guys nailed it, man. You guys did a great job with that draft guide. You guys believed in Cleveland Farrell. You liked Colin Saunders. You guys did a lot of things in that draft guide where I think actually Mike Mayock may have bought it and read it.
Yeah, that was kind of our running joke that first night when you see Cleveland Farrell go that high, because not that many people were near as high as kind of we were. And I think even outside of the guide, we talked a little bit more about it. But, yeah, we were big Cleveland Farrell fans. And then you see him go number four overall. And on one hand, you're like, what are the Raiders doing? And then on the other, you're like, well, I guess this isn't crazy for what we thought. So, yeah, it was funny. Mike Mayock may be a AP draft guy, not purchaser, which is it's good going forward. We'll put in some nuggets next year to throw them off.
Matt Lane loves his football. As a matter of fact, I was out having a few beers with Pete Sweeney last night, arrowheadpride.com. And we talked what? We talked Chiefs. And, Matt, I know that you like talking Chiefs. Your Twitter account is funny because you've actually got the pen and paper, and you're drawing things now. I love that.
Yeah, from time to time when, you know, there's a point that I feel like I can get across better with a little picture or something like that, I'll go ahead and throw that out there. I did that a little bit last year when I was just trying to think about different just
unsystematic
things the Chiefs could do. So I threw some stuff up, and people seemed to like it last year. So from time to time I get that in there.
I like it, too. It's like it's chalkboard talk. You know, Bill Walsh, the former legendary coach of the 49ers, I read his book. You know what he used to do, Matt? He'd be at a restaurant with his wife, and he'd think about a play. And he'd grab a napkin and a pen, and he'd draw a play right there at the restaurant because he's just always thinking football.
That's awesome. No, that's great. And, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of pretty close. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I don't quite draw plays. I'm definitely not going to compare myself to Walsh there. But – like, yeah, if I see something I want to get across, I'll put it down on some paper. I got three or four notebooks full of just useless football stuff that's probably never going to see the light of day just because it ended up being nothing. But the best way to work through things.
Man, I've got a trick play, and I like it so much, Matt. I've gone to high school coaches to use it because I cover high school football. One actually did run my play. I'm so ridiculous. We had an interview with Andy Reid a couple years ago in his office, and I ran this by him. Like, you find something that you like and you're passionate about it, and you create a play, and you think it's the end-all, be-all, and you gotta share it, use it.
Yeah, no, you got to get it out there. And that was just it. I had a chance to work with a local middle school team this year, and they let me help design some of their run games. So
there
I get
go.
To put in a lot of my theory stuff in there and just see kind of how it works at that level. And it's fun to see it out there, whether it works or doesn't work, but it lets you get back to the drawing board again. So,
well, we have business to tend to, Matt, but here's the play. You line up, balanced line, you put your center at right tackle, and then all of a sudden you show up in this unbalanced formation where all of a sudden your right tackle is your center, and it throws the defense off because you got this overbalanced line. I'm talking like what you run on third and one or fourth and one. And the other team is taking a timeout. You know, they don't know what to do or if they even have a timeout because they're out of position. And it just throws them off. And a high school team ran it, and it was very successful.
Oh, yeah, no, I imagine that would work extremely well. Because, yeah, you see that when you're out there. It's not something you're going to prepare for, especially at the high school level or any level. If you've never seen it, like, what are you going to – how are you going to respond to that without calling a timeout?
That's right. That's right. You save it for a deal. Yeah, on Twitter, you have fire jersey choice. Darren Lee to the Kansas City Chiefs. Darren Lee's an interesting prospect. You know, the Chiefs are killing that 2016 draft. They now have four players, and they only drafted one of them, but four players now from that 2016 draft drafted in the top 41. You a fan of Darren Lee? Do you think this guy can make a difference with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I really like the trade a ton. There's no real downside to the trade, so I like it from that aspect. We'll see how he works out as a player. I think he showed a lot of improvement last year with the Jets. Like, you could just see he was one of the guys where the game looked like it really started to click to him. He saw the field better. He was just improving on all of his weaknesses and kept the same athletic upside that he had. So I don't see how it's a bad move for seeing what we gave up for him. But as far as being kind of like an impact player, there's a good chance. He's got the kind of athleticism and skills and coverage that are things that teams covet. And that's something that really hurt the Chiefs last year, was a lack of ability to cover with their linebackers. So now that you put a guy like Darren Lee, you get Dorian O'Daniel another year in the system and in the NFL, you're starting to build up a solid stable of guys that can cover at that second level. And Darren Lee's, like I put in my article on Arrowhead Pride, he just has this natural ability in coverage where he understands route concepts and his zone depth that he's constantly dropping right underneath receivers despite not having to put his eyes on them at all. He's just able to watch the quarterback and fall right under a receiver's cut, and it's just perfect positioning. So just little stuff like that that takes forever to teach, he already has. Chiefs get him for 1 year. He's trying to earn a big contract, so you know you're going to get a lot of effort out of him. So I think it's a great trade, and I'm excited to see how they use him.
Veach is going with this philosophy, you know, change of pace, change of attitude, change of you get a change of scenery. You know, he's trusting his coaching staff to bring the best out of him. And I look at this move, and if this was another team, like the Patriots or something like that you were doing business with, I'd be skeptical because they wouldn't trade players that have value. But I look at the Jets, interim GM Adam Gase, and I'm looking at the fact that he didn't even want Le'Veon Bell. And I don't know what they're doing, so to me, it makes sense because you're dealing with the Jets that I think right now are a clown show.
Yeah, for sure. And like, his name's been out there as a potential trade guy for pretty much all offseason. It was just a matter of finding someone that was willing to meet their demands for him. And Darren Lee's always been a little miscast in that 3-4 system that they're running for the Jets. Like, you can even watch this year when he's playing better. They have him bouncing out as an outside linebacker in a 3-4, pressed up on the edge some, and his speed makes him an acceptable rusher, but that's not where he's really his best at. So they just didn't know how to use him. You get Adam Gase in there who just wants to start it over his way. He wants his personnel. So it just made Darren Lee super available, and the Chiefs jumped right on that. You got to applaud them there. They kind of had their negotiations. As soon as they saw an opening, while things were a little chaotic, they just went right for it, and it worked out great for him.
How long is he going to last there? Let's be honest. Adam Gase being an interim GM, come on, man. He's way over his skis.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of long-term success there. I mean, I guess it depends on what kind of person they get in there as their GM. I know some people feel like he got an unfair shake in Miami because he was kind of stuck with Ryan Tannehill, but he still chose that job. Like, he knew going in that they weren't going to give up on Ryan Tannehill immediately, so that he can't really use that as an excuse. And now you're coming out, he doesn't want Le'Veon Bell there. He doesn't apparently agree with any personnel decisions they made. He doesn't want to pay C.J. Mosley what they paid him. So it's just, they have a lot of issues going on. So it's going to be interesting to watch how the Jets unfold the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think Scott Pioli is a name to watch there as he stepped away from the Falcons. What do you think about Peyton Manning? There's been those rumors, Peyton Manning in New York. I would do this in a second.
Yeah, I think that as long as the two get along, which they do, like, they seem to be good friends. So if Adam Gase feels like he can get stuff out of Peyton Manning and they can get along with each other and make all the right decisions, I definitely think it's a good move. I don't know if Peyton, though, is going to want to go to the Jets. Like, I do think he's interested in being a GM at some point in time, but I don't know if the Jets is going to be his first choice. But if it is, yeah, make that move. Offer him whatever he wants to get out of the booth or coaching, doing his ESPN show right now.
Which is
and
great.
Let him get out there, help them out, because they need some help somewhere.
Well, they were looking at Daniel Jeremiah, too, allegedly. Another draft analyst like Mayock. I'm telling you, man, you and Ken Swanson need to get your resume coming together. You might be in a front office someday.
Yeah, that's the joke. If we're putting out the AP draft team, putting out their resumes for the Jets, then we would probably try to get a new head coach besides Adam Gase. But if we got the job, we would do something about that. We would keep Lev Bell for now, at least.
Yeah, Matt Miller's getting up at NFL Network now because that's going to be the thing, all these NFL Network guys going to be GM, so they got to keep getting people. And, all right, let's talk about this. Le'Veon Bell, since we're talking Jets, it wouldn't cost you a ton, 2 years, $17 million at this point. Is this something you would do, Matt? Because I'm not a huge fan of paying running backs.
No, I wouldn't. Like you said, he's definitely affordable for the kind of player that he was 2 years ago. But at this point in time, you can't guarantee that I'm getting that player. There's been some rumors that he was pretty out of shape this offseason. Some people that saw him, he didn't look like he had been keeping himself in football shape. You already have a guy that's had some years where he hasn't been in great shape. He's had some injured years and difficulty with suspensions. So now I'm going to pay a running back high dollar to maybe not give me a full 16 games every single year. That's a little already iffy for me. And then, like you said, with the Chiefs offense, they just need guys that are good at specific aspects of playing running back. They don't need the most complete running back, especially at that price point, to get the most out of their offense. I'm more than okay with the stable that we have right now than trying to waste draft capital and just put that much money into the running back position.
All right, here's a question for you, Matt, from our Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Speaking of Darren Lee, Itachu, Hitchens, Ragland, Dorian O'Daniel, right now in a 4-3 scheme, who's your MLB, who's your weak side linebacker, and who's your Sam?
So I've been doing this, has been my drawings for Twitter were about this, and it's kind of the hot topic right now. And so I think you kind of got to boil it back down to if Spags is going to go back, if Steve Spagnuolo is going to run the same general defense he did with the Giants, your base, your 4-3 kind of base package, it's only going to be 20% of the snaps roughly, so it's not a lot. It's probably going to have Reggie Ragland at your Mike, Anthony Hitchens as your Will, and then Damian Wilson as your Sam. And I know that upsets a lot of people because
Where'd you have Hitchens?
As a Will.
Will, okay.
He's a weak side linebacker, but it's because the shifts for the over or under system that Spag used for your linebackers is often going to make that Will an interior gap defender. So he's going to be playing between the guard and the tackle a lot, or sometimes even between the guard and the center. You put a Dorian O'Daniel or Darren Lee there, not that they can't do it, it's just not the best use of their talents. And doing that on these heavy formations against two running backs, so, you know, your typical I formation or two tight end sets, might not be the best move. Go a little heavier with your linebackers in the base. And then when the nickel comes around, then you're going to have Anthony Hitchens will kick over to more of the Mike role, and then you're going to bring in a coverage linebacker off the bench, which is going to be Darren Lee, Dorian O'Daniel. And that way, Anthony Hitchens still isn't the best in coverage, but you're reducing him to mostly playing shallow zones over the middle of the field. You get a better coverage linebacker out there, and you have continuity between your play calling from the base package to the nickel.
Man, I'm waiting for Dorian O'Daniel to show something. Keep in mind that last year he was at Clemson. He still had Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, Cleveland Farrell, these first-round picks. He actually graded out higher than any of them. And I'm waiting for the day. In Ragland, I'm not – you know, his snap count got so low. He played that 3-4 at Alabama. He was drafted 3-4 in Buffalo because Rex Ryan did it. They switched to the 4-3. He didn't have a home. Like, I'm concerned about Ragland. And I wonder if Ragland still makes this team.
Yeah, and that's a big concern. But I think the way that Steve Spagnuolo used his Mike back with the Giants before, it was a lot like how you would use a strong inside linebacker in a 3-4. So that's kind of why I'm still penciling Ragland in there for the base downs right now, because he's only going to be out there on running situations. Like, he's not going to be playing, even though it's the Mike, he's not going to be playing on the nickel or, you know, a second and 10, stuff like that. He's just going to be in there to thump on the inside for rundowns, let the weak side linebacker, the strong safety, kind of control where the run's going, kind of collect the spill, fill the holes. So I'm okay with him there, but if you think that Hitchens can do that, which I do as well, like if it was up to me, Hitchens would play the Mike in the base. But if your goal is to get bigger linebackers out there across the board, I'm okay with Ragland playing that role for one more year before moving on from him.
Yeah, and keep in mind, with the nickel package, I think they're going to be in a lot. You have cover guys like Juan Thornhill. You got the Honey Badger, you know, that will sneak in at outside linebacker just for coverage type roles. I mean, there's so many different things they can do with this defense.
Yeah, and that's what Craig Stout and I started. We're starting to watch a lot of old, and not old, but 2016-17 Steve Spagnuolo defense. We're charting everything as we go through. And that's what I keep trying to remind people here. The base package is 20% of the snap.
Yeah.
And even at those 20% of the snaps, I'd say a fourth of them, you're going to have some kind of sub-package players in. You're going to have a different weak side linebacker, or you're going to have a different Mike linebacker. So when I say Anthony Hitchens, Reggie Ragland, and Damian Wilson in the base, I'm still talking roughly a fifth of the entire snaps the Chiefs defense is playing. It just happens to be called base because that's kind of the old way of thinking about the NFL, when reality, the nickel is the new base. So you don't have to worry too much about Hitchens being in a ton of coverage if that's kind of the concern.
Matt, the final thing for you. I've been, you know, on this soapbox that, you know, I understand we might be without Tyreek a couple games if he gets suspended by Goodell, which I'm sure will happen. But I'm of the contention that this defense and this defensive coaching staff can close that gap. It can close that gap where you don't have to score 35 points a game. You don't have to come close to that for this to be a good football team with an improved defense.
Yeah, I definitely think on a kind of week-to-week basis, there's going to be a lot more consistency from the Chiefs defense. You're going to have a lot more games where teams are just scoring at will. I don't think you're going to have a third of the games in the season where it has to be a shootout to win. Like any game in the NFL, you know, any given Sunday, any week in offense can have a defense's number. But I think the majority of the weeks is going to be tough sliding against the defense this year. You know, the defense is going to make you earn it at the very least. So you can lower that gap if the offense has to score. My big concern, and I'm with you, I think even without Tyreek Hill for a few games, I think the Chiefs are fine. The issue just comes in if you don't get a healthy Sammy Watkins during that time, because then things start to look real bleak for the offense in terms of the talent they're fielding. Not that Pat can't bring the team up to the par, if I think he is that good, but that's the worry that I do have.
Matt Lane, at Chief in Carolina, arrowheadpride.com. Enjoy the PGA Championships. Enjoy Brooks Koepka just dominating this thing, my friend.
Oh, man, I'm pulling for him. I hope he can set the record for the biggest margin of victory here, because Brooks has been, he's been amazing lately, and it's just been a little overshadowed by Tiger's comeback, but he's been playing great golf the last couple of years, so I'm excited for it.
No question about it. It's going to be fun to watch. Thanks, Matt. Take care, buddy.
Thank you, JB. Have a good weekend.
There you go, Matt Lane. We like talking to him on Sundays. He's kind of become a Sunday fixture, just like you and I, Ben.
Matt's a cool guy.
Matt's a good dude. Matt's a good dude. Coming up next, the NCAA exploring paying for likenesses and names. Could we see the return of EA Sports in college football? We'll discuss that next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Big Sunday. Jay Binkley, Ben Alper producing the operation, taking you till noon. Cody Tapp comes your way at 2 o'clock. Cody's on deck show. Is Tyler Skaggs for the Angels, who has an impressive 0.35 ERA against the Royals. Not very good when he's not playing the Royals, but against the Royals, he's very good against Danny Duffy. Hopefully the Royals able to get a game. Last seven series, they've won one and dropped two, so we'll hope the Royals get things turned around today. Looking forward to that, but you can catch that on 610 Sports Radio. A lot going on today. This afternoon's going to be fun. We'll watch a little Royals, watch the PGA Championship. Unless Brooks Koepka is just, like, destroying this thing like he's doing now. It's not going to have much intrigue, I guess. That's what's – like, he's got a seven-stroke lead, but if it gets like 10 or 12, the ratings aren't going to be very good for this. They're not going to be very good because Tiger's not in it. You'll see the ratings drop. But if he's just going out there and dominating everybody, like, nobody wants to see a race for second place. It's no fun. But Brooks Koepka is absolutely destroying things, and once people are locked in wire-to-wire leaders like that, they don't falter, which is amazing because there's golfers that string together four good games, four good days, and then they go back to just being average, except for Brooks. He keeps winning. This could be his fourth major before he's 30 years old. It's absolutely incredible. So that's on tap today, too. Game of Thrones finale. I do believe tomorrow night, tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., you can hear Dusty Likens and Nick Price recap the final episode tonight. And then they'll be back 9 to 1. So I go 6 to 9 tomorrow. Then Dusty and Nick come in to talk Game of Thrones final. So sports fans like it. People like it. I have not watched the show, and I feel really bad because I haven't. And maybe at some point I will. I don't know when. I don't have HBO, so.
Likewise. I've only seen the first two seasons. And then, yeah, I dropped HBO, so.
I watched The Sopranos. That's probably the last like big series I watched.
Yeah, I watched that recently.
Did you? Did you watch the whole thing?
No. I'm up to season three right now, but
oh, you don't know what happens then?
No.
All right, I won't spoil it, even though by this time you probably should have watched it, Ben. But but the final episode, there's something to discuss. So we'll get to that point, and we can discuss it if you get there. Brockmire has its season finale this week. I love Brockmire. I'm trying to get you to watch it because you're an Eastbound and Down fan.
Exactly.
It's on IFC. You can get it on the app or whatever, but it's a channel that I don't know where the hell it is. It's worse than True TV, whenever you try to find that for the NCAA tournament. It's on IFC, and I have no idea what other show's in there, but I like Brockmire's former Royals broadcast, you know, fictitious Royals broadcaster. George Brett's been in it.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Bob Costas, you know, so I enjoy it. It's got a good cast, and I've been watching Brockmire, so we'll see the final episode this week. That is actually one series that I continue to watch, which I don't watch a lot of stuff. I do watch it. It's only like a 30-minute show, which my attention span is perfect. Because I can fast forward through the – when you fast forward the commercials, like 21 minutes, 22 minutes. Like, I can handle that, Ben.
Yeah,
grab a cold one, watch that.
No. Would you say the cold one?
Grab a cold one.
A cold one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll make a mental note of that.
Mental note, Brockmire, cold ones. When it stops raining, it's rained a lot. And I mean, it's going to continue to rain this week. Evidently, they said we're calling, what, maybe 10 inches of rain, whatever. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
I'm out driving around yesterday. I couldn't see 2 feet in front of me. I mean, there's just so much rain. That drives me nuts, by the way. Because, like, tornadoes and stuff like that, like, I think they're kind of fun to chase. And I've done that before. I know it's stupid, but, but I do a lot of stupid things. I actually drove right through one time in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Didn't see it coming.
Really?
Yeah, I had was coming back from Charleston, South Carolina. Previous job, I used to go around to all these places, and I was going Charleston to Kansas City. So we'd stop along the way or whatever. It was military logistics. We helped move military families, so we'd go to these conventions. And I was so tired, and I pulled over in a rest stop, and it was packed. You know, usually you pull in a rest stop, you just go to the bathroom or whatever, and boom, big fan of those. Because, you know, you have to go buy, like, I always feel guilty if I go to a gas station just to use their bathroom. I always feel guilty, like, I got to buy some, you know, Snickers or some licorice or something or some beef jerky.
Yeah, yeah.
And which I usually do, or an energy drink. I had plenty of energy drinks when you're driving that far. But it was packed. And I asked the people, I said, well, what are you guys doing in here? There's tornadoes all around. And I didn't know this before. I have, like, AccuWeather app and all these, you know, different apps that'll show you wherever you're at. You know, you're under a watch or warning. So I called back to my office. So what, can you guys pull it up on a computer? What's going on around Nashville, Murfreesboro? And they said, there's tornado warnings all over the place. And I was like, yes. I was in a rental car. I was like, let's do this thing.
Yeah, I've been in a similar situation with my dad when I was 8 years old. We were driving up to Charlotte, North Carolina for an NBA playoff game. And we drove right through a tornado.
Man. It'll get you pumped. I was so stoked when I went through that. I mean, I was so tired when I got to that point, but I had adrenaline. And so I start driving on the highway. And all of a sudden, I see people bailing out of their cars and getting in the ditch. And then I was in this ravine. So you're kind of like in a ditch anyway, the way the highway is, but I couldn't see it. And all of a sudden, the back of my car starts getting real squirrely. It was like a real small tornado, like an F0 or something. Like if this had been an F3 or F4 or F5, you'd be hosting the show, Ben, with somebody else. but I could feel it. And it was a rental car, so I didn't really care. So I was like, boom. I used to go out to Colorado Springs a lot, like the Air Force Academy and stuff. And driving across western Kansas, when there's storms, you know, you're on the highway and you can see, you know, for miles and miles. But there was always these storms, but I never saw twisters. You know, I'm fine with twisters, you know, out in the middle of the country, like not tearing up a house or something. I hate, you know, that, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not a fan of people's property or their lives in jeopardy. But if it's in the middle of a field, those are fun.
Yeah, no biggie.
But I digress. It's a lot of rain, though. A lot of rain. I mentioned the NCAA and paying athletes. It's always been kind of a thing of mine. And met with a lot of skepticism because I will get the text or the emails saying, why do we need to pay for college athletes? We don't pay for chemistry students and stuff like that. But here's the thing. Who pays for the chemistry students' stethoscopes or microscopes, whatever? The athletes do. They do. They pay for it. They make money. Johnny Manziel made so much money for Texas A&M by being in the Heisman race, that logo plastered everywhere. The money financially that you get from donors when you have a Heisman Trophy candidate, it makes your whole alumni base feel good and jacked up. You're not winning a national title, but your guy's going to win the Heisman. And there's so much money that's brought in with football and men's basketball that it pays for a lot of the other sports. Are you going to start paying for their likeness? Because a lot of guys, it's their only window of opportunity to do that. You know, selling cars at the local dealership, getting some cash. I've never had a problem with that because I do feel like the NCAA uses you. That swimmer that won some gold, that gal out at Stanford, don't tell me they're not using billboards and stuff to promote her on their swim team. You know, because she won gold medals. I mean, they use you. And A&M was doing dinners with Johnny Manziel, and he wasn't getting anything. He was just showing up, and people were paying like $10,000 to go sit down with Manziel. It's back when he was there and in the hot thing. But the NCAA said they're coming up with a group. NCAA President Mark Emmert and the Board of Governors announced Tuesday that the Big East Commissioner Val Ackerman and Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith will head the new federal and state legislation works groups. This group will bring together diverse opinions from the membership, from presidents and commissioners to student athletes. It will examine the NCAA's position on name, image, and likeness benefits and potentially propose rules modification tethered to education. I've always thought, put it in the fund. If you don't want to pay them, put it in the fund so when they're done playing, they get the money. You know, a lot of these guys grow up poor. They don't have anything. And you know what? I think you would eliminate a lot of the $100 handshakes. Or guys know where to go. They know where to go and who's got money. And you see like Kansas and the shoe deals and, you know, the big money that's allegedly given to athletes to go to Arizona or Duke or whatever. I think you eliminate, well, first of all, I think you eliminate a lot of that if you let them just go straight to the pros. Because I don't think shoe companies are giving people or sneaking money to guys that aren't going straight to the NBA to wear their products. But it is on the right path. From the Orlando Sentinel, the NCAA Board of Governors announced this week it's forming a working group to examine. This could be a game changer. Right now, the NCAA forbids college athletes from receiving compensation for the use of their name, image, or likeness. And again, this is schools benefit from them. And if you don't think that schools, look at Clemson. They built a bowling alley and all this stuff for the students because that football team is making money. When your football team is making money, buildings go up. These small schools go to the NCAA Final Four. When that happens, people spend money. And they want, and they need, buildings are built around the campus because of what your athletes do. You know, let them take advantage of their likeness. Now, here's a story from Orlando Sentinel. 2017, Central Florida's kicker refused to remove advertising on videos featured on his YouTube channel after he was ruled ineligible by the NCAA, eventually lost his scholarship. There was like a Division III tennis player, girls tennis player, Division III, who washed her car on campus at the school and had to pay back the money for that water that was used to wash her car. This is how ridiculous some of these rules are. And then a couple years ago, they said that athletes can now get cream cheese for their bagels because they weren't able to before. You would get a bagel, but you couldn't get cream cheese.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, they use these people for their likeness in their names, and I get it. A lot of people have to pay money for your kid to go to school. But if these guys are bringing in money to your school, what do you do? A lot of coaches don't want it. Steve Adazio, the coach of Boston College, says paying college athlete is unsettling. Well, what's more unsettling? Your athlete's going out and getting $100 handshakes or legally use their likenesses. And again, if you want to put it to fun, they get it when they stop playing. I got no problem with that. These schools use these people. They use their likenesses. They use their names. I guess selfishly, I want that video game to come back. I love that NCAA football game. I loved it. My favorite game. I kept that 2004 forever. I used to go back 2005 and 2006, and I take it back to store because I like playing that 2004 game.
Oh, yeah.
Love the college athlete likeness. But coming up next, we go back to the Kansas City Chiefs and closing the gap on defense next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Bank Sunday. Jay Binkley, Ben Alper producing the operation from the Protein House, Eat With A Purpose text line. From the 816, we know you watch The Real Housewives of Atlanta too, Bink. Fake news. I don't watch any of that stuff. I don't. I do like reality TV. Wasn't The Real World kind of the one that started this whole thing? I do believe that was kind of the reality show that...
The MTV show?
Yeah. Wasn't that kind of the spark?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just cool. I mean, the real stuff is cool. But then again, you don't know what's real and what's fake. How many things are staged? How many times do you do something and say, well, can you do that again so we can film that?
Yeah, I think it's all staged, yeah, honestly. It's
all staged. The only thing that's not is when they follow around, like Path to the Draft. I love that NFL Network where they show the guy working out. And, you know, I think a lot of that is real. I think it's interesting. I always thought they should do a sitcom on sports radio.
That'd be cool.
Matter of fact, I did a – was in college and had to do a – we had to make a skit. We had to write a sitcom. That's tougher than you think when you're writing a sitcom because writing comedy is tough. You may think something's funny, but a lot of people think you're dumb. I loved it. I had a sitcom revolving around a sports anchor, and I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it sounds fun, honestly.
I don't think my teacher thought it was funny. I think I got like a C on it, and I put a lot of time into it. But I guess I think things are funnier than other people do. I don't know. I tried. That's all I can do.
Yeah, exactly.
the kid from the 913, the chemistry student stethoscopes bank. Yeah, I screwed up with that. Not stethoscope. That's what doctors use. I meant microscopes. You know what I meant? You know what I meant, text line? They say, do you remember when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Yeah. I screwed up. I usually deal in facts. I screwed up as microscopes. That's what I meant. You guys know what I meant. You know exactly what I meant. But think about it. They're just taking a desk and a chair in that classroom. They're bringing millions of bucks to your university. I have no problem with it. Color me excited about the Chiefs defense and this defensive staff. And one thing we've seen from Brett Veach, and I think there's something to this. I think he's got a trend that we see in sports where you bring somebody in for a change of scenery. And that change of scenery, what you do is you trust your staff to make them better. We see it in baseball with pitchers that struggle in some places. There's always, you know, like there's always that place that thinks they can turn them around. It's probably like Kelvin Herrera is not playing well for the White Sox. They thought they'd bring him in and they could change him, bring him back to who he was. We see it all the time. You get, you know, you bring in a pitcher, Cal Eldred, let him have some time with him. He turns around and becomes a better player. We're seeing with this Cam Irving. Cam Irving in Cleveland wasn't very good. And he got to change the scenery here in Kansas City. And I think some of this, like Darren Lee that's coming here, I think what they're doing with Brett Veach is he's trusting his coaching staff because this really is an all-star coaching staff. He's put together. They finally have guys that can get promoted. Brendan Daly, defensive line coach, I think he goes on to bigger and better things. Matt House will be a defensive coordinator, if not a head coach in this league. He's just your linebackers coach at this point. But there's a toughness attitude about Spagnuolo. There's just this toughness mindset. You know, we did lose Gunther Cunningham this week, RIP Gunther. And the one thing about Gunther is, he was always tough and in your face, but people respected that, you know? So people need tough love and do anything for them, but you need that toughness and that attitude. And I think the Honey Badger brings in some of that, you know? He talked about his conversation with Pat Mahomes right after his press conference. And, you know, Pat was like, I need you to take care of this defense. And I think he will. I think the Honey Badger is the biggest acquisition for the Chiefs. And I really, really like Frank Clark. But the Honey Badger can play six different things for you. And I think he can be that leader that you wanted with Eric Berry. Eric Berry was a tremendous leader, but he wasn't on the field. When you're not on the field, things are different. And, you know, to a man, these guys loved when Berry was on the field. What that one week, Craig Stout from Arrowhead Pride County, the 30 snaps that he played, 10 of the snaps, he was putting guys in the right position. But I do think the change of scenery from the 816, change of scenery can work. Ask Jay Guts. Yeah, he was in Colorado. Jeremy Guthrie, you know, he had a game where he ripped his jersey off and everything else. They trade Sanchez for Guthrie. They ended up getting the guy that started game 7 in the World Series. Yeah, change of scenery do work. And with the Chiefs, I think you're seeing a little bit of that, especially with Darren Lee. You know, you get him here working with Matt House, the linebacker coach. Cam Irving, I thought, played much differently in Kansas City than he did in Cleveland. He wasn't very good in Cleveland. Matter of fact, he was a center. He didn't want to play center. He even admitted that. And then Austin Ryder took over for him when he was hurt. Austin Ryder's the center for the Chiefs now. Tore his ACL, the one start he got in Cleveland. But I do think a change of scenery works. And it kind of seems like Brett Veach, this is philosophy. I trust my staff that we've put together. And before, with Bob Sutton and his staff, I don't think you could trust them to elevate the talent level. Like, I'm curious what Chris Jones can do with Brendan Daly. He was coming over here with hardware and rings from the New England Patriots. Matt House, the linebacker coach, back when he was in Pittsburgh, you know, he helped develop Aaron Donald, best player in the NFL. You know, he had Josh Allen at Kentucky this year, and he was defensive coordinator at Kentucky, just a position coach here, which I think honestly, Steve Spagnuolo was a nice hire. He is an Andy Reid crony. He did have last year off where he went to NFL films and watched things. But Matt House was a real coup, and Kentucky didn't want to get rid of him. Remember the stories coming out? He was coming to the Chiefs, and then Kentucky was going to block it for some strange reason, which I don't think is a good business model. Because how are you going to hire somebody if you're blocking them from going to the NFL? Andy Reid got on the phone, $1.5 million. Andy Reid got the deal done. It's kind of swag and power he's got. He calls, gets the job done. But I think change of scenery, and they're hoping they can get that lift. They get that boost. They get that boost from your coaching staff, and you trust them. And I see Brett Veach doing that. And, again, I think this defense closes the gap. And I think it's going to be a big surprise. I think it's going to be a big surprise when 3 and 4 weeks into the season, we're talking about how good this defense is. When you have a good defense combined with an MVP 23-year-old quarterback, good things happen to your football team. And I don't think we're talking enough about the defense and some of the changes. Maybe I'm higher on the coaching staff than others, but I do believe in a good staff makes your head coach look smarter. It makes him look smarter. And I think that's what's going to happen with the Kansas City Chiefs. 15 minutes remain in the program. Cody Tapp comes your way at 2 o'clock for Cody's On Deck show. Coming up next, we'll go back talking about Brooks Koepka and what he's doing at the PGA Championships. We haven't seen golfers with this kind of stoic disposition since Tiger Woods. We talk Brooks next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back, Big Sunday. Royals today try to salvage a game against the Angels. Danny Duffy against Tyler Skaggs. Royals have not hit a home run in 7 straight games. That hasn't been done in Major League Baseball since 2014. So hopefully the Royals can get some home runs today. Tyler Skaggs, by the way, is very good against the Royals. 0.35 ERA in his 4 starts against the Royals. You remove the Royals from his 4 starts, it's a 4.71 ERA. But for some reason, he's really good against the Royals. Hopefully that changes today. But the Royals in action today. And 0-9-1 in their last 10 series. Of course, they've already lost this series to the Angels. But looking forward to Danny Duffy, who's played well. Danny Duffy 2-1 with a 3.97 ERA. So looking forward, the run support seems to happen with Danny Duffy. He's got 21 runs of run support his last 2 starts. 7 against Houston, 9 last Tuesday. So we'll see if Danny Duffy gets that run support from the Kansas City Royals that he needs. PGA Championship rolls on. Bethpage Black, Brooks Koepka dominating, could win his 4th major today at 29 years old. This guy's just racking him up lately. 2-time U.S. Open winner, won the PGA last year, finished 2nd this year at the Masters. And he's fun to watch. He's fun to watch. You know, the stoic presence he is, just the concentration he gives. And again, we don't always get, you know, fun stuff from golfers, but we appreciate Tiger Woods because of his greatness. And I'm looking forward to some Tigers-Brooks showdowns I mean, both these cats, imagine on a Sunday where they're both concentrating, they're both stoic, they both have one goal in mind. It's fun to watch these guys. It's fun to watch these guys play, and, you know, golf needs that. Now, I know people want more of a personality from Brooks, but he's actually funny. He put that red nose on Brandel Chambly from Golf Network. And then Chambly said, well, I think he was sticking the middle fingers up for 4.5 hours the other day when he shot a course record, 63. But I'll be looking forward to watching that. Now, if he's going to run away with it, 7-stroke lead at this point. If it gets to be 10, 12, 15, which it could be with the way Brooks is playing, I guess we'll have to tune in and watch greatness. Him being challenged today, 7 strokes, I don't know. Now Tiger always had that mystique on Sundays where if you're Sunday with Tiger, forget about it. Even if he was a stroke behind, he was going to beat you because you felt the pressure. All the pressure was on you because Tiger was coming. And Brooks, we'll see what he can do today. If he can keep this up, I have no doubt that he will. The guy is such a professional in what he does. Wouldn't surprise me if Brooks goes out and dominates this today. So we talked some golf. We talked some Deontay Wilder, little knockout win yesterday. We talked fights in NASCAR as Ryan Newman and Clint Bowyer. Actually, Clint Bowyer came in and threw some punches at Ryan Newman sitting in his car. NASCAR fights are kind of weird because what they'll do is they'll hit each other with their helmets on and stuff. You don't get the knockdown and throwdowns. I mean, I wish the Kentucky Derby we'd see some jockey fights. I mean, that'd be great. You know, these jockeys throwing haymakers.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
I don't know. I like a good fight in Major League Baseball once in a while.
I like a good fight all the time.
I do, too. I do, too. I like fighting in sports. Hockey's been fun. You know, we got the Stanley Cup, St. Louis Blues. Which, by the way, have tied it up at 2, even though they should have a 3-1 advantage over the Sharks. But the Sharks cheated the other day. They're in action today. Bruins already in the Stanley Cup Finals, but for the Blues and the Sharks, they've both been to the Stanley Cup, but they've never won it. So the Blues and Sharks today, 2 o'clock, Game 5, series tied, 2-2. And again, the Blues should have a 3-1 advantage. You watch any hockey, Ben? Are you into that at all?
Yeah, I watch it here and there. Honestly, I kind of look at it as soccer. I'm not a big soccer fan, so.
Yeah, but there's some nice contact, though. It's nice finding. The Stanley Cups are fine. The beards grow. You know, guys play hurt. They want that cup. Like, there's no sport that enjoys that trophy more than the Stanley Cup and NHL players. They all get to take it home with them.
Yeah, that's true.
They all get to go party with it. They get to go party with the Stanley Cup.
Exactly.
You get your name on it.
Well, you know, it's more exciting than soccer. I take that back.
Well, I think the Lombardi Trophy would be fun, too, for Super Bowl. Now, it's 53 guys on a roster, but, you know, if they got the trophy for a day to carry it around, take it to the bars, but you can't drink out of it, you know, like you can the Stanley Cup. I mean, there's been so many things done with that Stanley Cup. The thing flies around the world. A lot of these guys are, you know, from Sweden and everyone else, and they'll send a guy, kind of like Kurt Nelson. I always thought Kurt Nelson, who traveled around with the Royals Trophy, Kurt did a great job with it, man. He didn't win by touching it, man. He was, you get your picture taken. We used to go to these stops. It'd be the Red X or whatever. You get your picture with the trophy. Kurt took care of that bad boy. He would fly on the plane with it. Like, there was nobody going to touch the Royals trophy because Kurt Nelson was right there for it. I always thought he kind of missed his calling because I figured he'd be good with the Stanley Cup, too. Like, I would trust Kurt Nelson to fly around with that and keep it protected. And I don't know if you saw the Red Sox victory parade last year. Somebody threw a can of beer, and it crushed the spokes on the top of the World Series trophy. It has the flag. You know, in Boston, they like chucking beer at their athletes. Gronk will take it and, like, slam it. He will take the beer and slam it. But they threw these beer cans. It's like a full can of beer, and it broke that trophy. Now, they can easily get it fixed. But can you imagine if that would happen while Kurt Nelson was watching that trophy? Those are his babies, man. Good luck with that. You know how hard those things are to get? But anyway, Cody Tapp comes your direction at 2 o'clock. Don't forget about the National Cash Contest every hour. $12,000, your chance to win tomorrow all across the shows on 610 Sports Radio. Dusty Likens and Nick Price get you going at 5 a.m., live and local, breaking down Game of Thrones. Those poor guys, man. They come in early. Then they doubleheader, because then they come in 9-1, too. You with them tomorrow, Ben? Or Nick. Is it just Nick and Dusty, probably?
Just Nick and Dusty.
Big thanks to Matt Lane, who joined us as we broke down the Kansas City Chiefs. Huge thanks to you listening and contributing to the program. I'm back tomorrow. Sorry. Cough button. At 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Huge thanks to Ben Alpert producing the operation. I think Ben and I have a lot of fun on Sundays. There's so much reaction of what can happen. We had the Deontay Wilder fight. We had a NASCAR fight. We had a lot of fun stuff.
Exactly.
And Brooks Koepka dominating at the PGA Championships. See you tomorrow. Don't forget, 5 a.m., Dusty and Nick. See you guys tomorrow night.
Big Sunday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.